Intercessory Prayer, Chapter 3, Spiritual Resources for Intercession. Key verse. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Introduction. God has provided tremendous spiritual resources for this ministry of intercession to which we are called. In this lesson, you will learn how to use these resources, which include delegated power and authority, binding and loosing, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and fasting. Delegated power and authority. When we intercede in prayer, we actually battle with our enemy Satan for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, for nations and spiritual and political leaders. We do not do this in our own ability or strength, but on the basis of the spiritual power and authority delegated to us by Jesus. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. There is a difference between authority and power. Consider the example of a policeman. He has a badge and a uniform, which are symbols of his authority. His authority comes because of the position he holds with the government. Since not all people respect that authority, the policeman also carries a weapon, and that weapon is his power. Your authority over the enemy comes through Jesus Christ and your position in him as a believer. Your power over the enemy comes through the Holy Spirit. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Like the policeman, you must have both authority and power to be effective in intercession, for you are actually doing spiritual battle with Satan. Believers receive authority through the new birth experience and their position in Christ. But some never go on to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which must be combined with authority to intercede effectively. Satan has limited power, but he has no authority. Jesus gave us both power and authority over all the power of the enemy. The power Jesus gave is directed power to be used for specific purposes in intercession. Power over the enemy. You have authority to intercede in prayer for those who need healing and deliverance. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Power over sin. You have authority to intercede for those who need salvation. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. John chapter 20, verse 23. Power to extend the gospel. You have authority to pray for laborers to extend the gospel. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Binding and loosing. The term to bind originates from the Hebrew word asar, meaning to bind, imprison, tie, gird, to harness. The word occurs approximately 70 times in the Hebrew Old Testament and was often used to indicate the tying up of horses and donkeys. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 10. The remarks of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 through 29 are of great significance. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? and then he will plunder his house. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 through 29. It is impossible to take the possessions of the strong man without first of all binding the strong man. Jesus, in speaking of the strong man, is referring to Satan. Those possessions which are to be taken from him are his most prized possessions of all. Lost individuals enslaved by him, including those who are demonized. Jesus gave believers the power to bind and loose. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus taught the importance of binding evil spirits before casting them out. But the principle of binding and loosing extends to more than casting out demons. You can bind the power of the enemy to work in your life, home, community, and church fellowship. You can loose men and women from the bondage of sin, depression, and discouragement of the enemy. In every situation, every problem, every challenge, there is a spiritual key. That key is binding and loosing through intercessory prayer. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the authority upon which we intercede. Jesus promised, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John chapter 14, verse 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John chapter 16, verse 23. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. You are to pray, preach, teach, baptize, cast out demons, heal the sick, and overcome every power of the enemy through the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any other name. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is another powerful spiritual resource that enables us to intercede. It is through his blood that we have access to God the Father. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. The holiest is the place where God dwells. We do not access God's presence by religious ritual or complicated procedures. We access it by the blood of Jesus Christ. subject of blood is a scarlet thread that runs throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible teaches that the life of man and beasts is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 and 14. Because the penalty for sin is death, Romans 6:23, and since life is in the blood, God established the principle that forgiveness of sins comes only through the shedding of blood. And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission from sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. God made the first blood sacrifice in the Garden of Eden after the sin of Adam and Eve, when he killed animals and clothed the couple in skins, which were representative of the righteousness of Christ. The importance of the blood sacrifice is emphasized through the story of Cain and Abel, the covenant of circumcision with the Israelites, and the Levitical ceremonies in the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals was offered as sacrifice repeatedly whenever man sinned. Hebrews chapter 8 details this process and describes it as the Old Covenant. In the New Testament, God sent Jesus to shed his blood for sin once and for all. His blood is described as the New Covenant, Mark chapter 14, verse 24. And he is the mediator of this New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. This made the Old Covenant obsolete, meaning it is no longer necessary that the blood of animals be offered as a sacrifice for sin. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 indicates that the blood of Jesus speaks for us, and what it confesses provides valuable eternal benefits for us. When Paul directs us to hold fast our confession, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it relates back to the previous verses, which indicates we have the right to draw near to the holiest. You enter God's presence in prayer the same way you are saved, by confessing the benefits of the blood of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. God acts in response to your confession, which has authority, because it is based on the testimony of the blood of Jesus. The blood declares that you can enter right now into the most holy place where God dwells and minister through intercession. Fasting. Another spiritual resource for effective intercession is fasting. Fasting, in the most simple definition, is going without food. Fasting is one of the things that approves us as ministers of God. See 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. Prayer with fasting was practiced in the early church. See Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And Paul encourages us to give ourselves to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Types of fasts. According to the Bible, there are two types of fasts. The total fast is when you do not eat or drink at all. An example of this is found in Acts chapter 9, verse 9. The partial fast is when the diet is restricted. An example of this is in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. Biblical examples of fasting. Abraham's servant fasted while seeking the right bride for Isaac. Genesis chapter 24, verse 33. Moses fasted for 40 days and nights while receiving the revelations of the law in the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 34. Hannah fasted for a child. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Nehemiah fasted for the restoration of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. The Jews fasted for deliverance following Haman's evil decree of death, Esther chapter 4. The entire city of Nineveh fasted in response to Jonah's call for repentance, Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. David fasted just prior to assuming his God-given destiny as king of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 31. Daniel fasted for 21 days and at the conclusion received the message from God that launched the turning point for the Hebrews in captivity. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast prior to battle, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Ezra called a fast of repentance for the exiles by the river Ahava, Ezra chapters 8 through 9. Jesus fasted prior to entering his ministry, Matthew chapter 4. The Apostle Paul fasted after his conversion, Acts chapter 9. It was during a time of fasting that Peter received his commission to share the gospel with the Gentiles, and Cornelius was prepared to receive the revelation, Acts chapter 10. The disciples were fasting and praying when the Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas for missionary service, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The purposes of fasting. Fasting does not change God, it changes you. God relates to you on the basis of your relationship to Him. When you change, then the way God deals with you is affected. You do not fast to change God because God does not change. Fasting does change how He deals with you. Read the book of Jonah for an example of this in the city of Nineveh. On one occasion, when the disciples of Jesus failed to bring help to a demon-possessed youngster, Jesus explained that this kind came out only by fasting and prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. There are certain situations in life which you cannot face apart from prayer and fasting. More and more as the end time approaches, we will encounter this kind of situation, critical dilemmas we have never before experienced. Our victory over this kind will necessitate fasting. There are definite spiritual purposes for fasting. It is important that you understand these purposes. If you fast for the wrong reasons or with no specific purpose, the fast will be ineffective. Study each of the following references. They reveal that people fasted in response to a message from God. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. During times of wilderness testing. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. During the threat of national calamity or war. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. When revelation was needed from God. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 to 4. When making decisions. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 3. When making special requests before authorities. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. To prepare for confrontation with demonic activity. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. To humble one's self. Psalms 35, verse 13 and 69, verse 10. To repent of sin. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. To feed the poor, both physically and spiritually. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7. To be heard of God. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and 22. Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 and 10. To loose bands of wickedness, lift heavy burdens, set the oppressed free, and break every bondage. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Length of the fast. How long you fast depends upon what God speaks into your spirit. He may lead you to fast a brief or lengthy time. Remember the story of Esau and Jacob? Jacob was originally making a meal for himself, but denied himself in order to obtain the birthright. How much better if Esau had fasted that meal? If you have never fasted, begin by fasting one meal. Next, he might want to try fasting from sundown one day to sundown the next night. Then you might increase your fasting to more lengthy periods of time. You should always drink water on long fasts. You can go without food for long periods, but water is needed to maintain bodily functions. Public and private fasting. Fasting is a personal matter between an individual and God. It is to be done in private and not boasted about. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Leaders may call a public fast and request the whole church fellowship to fast. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. God's chosen fast. Isaiah chapter 58 describes God's chosen or divinely approved fast. God's chosen fast is one where you humble yourself before God, verse 5, to loose the bonds of wickedness, verse 6, which undoes heavy burdens, verse 6, that frees the oppressed, verse 6, done with unselfish motives and manifested charity, verse 7. The results of fasting. When you fast, the first thing that happens is that God begins to reveal himself to you. The Father says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. Other results of fasting itemized in Isaiah chapter 58 are illumination. Verses 8 and 10 declare that the dark periods of your life will become like noonday. When others think they have extinguished your spiritual light, it will rise again and break forth like the morning. Direction. Verse 11 promises that the Lord will guide you continually. Provision. Verse 11 declares God will satisfy your soul in drought. This can apply to both material and spiritually lean times. Verse 11 also describes unlimited spiritual resources. You will be like a well-watered garden and a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Rejuvenation. Verse 11 declares God will strengthen your bones, and verse 8 proclaims that your healing shall spring forth speedily. Restoration. Verse 12 indicates that you and your spiritual seed shall build the old waste places, raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Resources for intercession. The believer has powerful spiritual resources to enable effective intercession. As you have learned in this chapter, these include delegated power and authority, binding and loosing, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and fasting.